I believe in miracles. Miracles. And I only wish you could fully know how much I believe in miracles. And never forget why I believe in miracles. It's because I believe in God. Do you have that wonderful security of knowing that you belong? It's the greatest thing in the world, this feeling of belonging, knowing that you belong. You wake up in the morning and you know to whom you belong. And you know that you're a child of His care. And that nothing can come into your life but what He allows and He permits if you have surrendered your life to Him. When problems come, it's so easy to believe in miracles. Believe in the supernatural power of God. And may I ask you to believe for a miracle in your own life. I would give anything in the world that I had if in the next few minutes I had the ability to make Jesus real to you. He's as real to me as any human being living this very hour. He can be just as real to you if you'll only let Him. Today I'm going to do something that you tell me you enjoy having me do more than anything that I do. You told me so. Thank you for your wonderful letters expressing your appreciation. And I want you to know that I enjoy doing this more than anything that I do, and that is just explaining the Word of God. And remember again, if I teach you one thing, if I tell you one thing, and it's contrary to what the Bible teaches, the Bible is always right. And also remember that if through these years you have had one thought, one idea, perhaps your own little personal theology, and suddenly you realize it is contrary to the Word of God, you too remember that the Bible is always right. That's the reason I'm going to answer three questions today. And I want you to know that the answer to these three questions will be more up-to-date than tomorrow morning's newspaper. And it's just like that. And if there's a really smart member of the news media, if he wants a real scoop, an honest-to-goodness scoop, when it comes to news, start reading the Word of God. Listen very closely to what I'm going to say today. This is God's Word. God never changes His plan. He never changes His mind. His trains always run on time. And when He makes the promise, makes the covenant, when He's given His word, He'll keep that word to the crossing of every T and the dotting of every I. Know that. All the three of these questions have been asked by someone listening in. I'll tell you exactly what the three questions are going to be, so you'll know exactly what I'm going to do. If you don't want the answer to these questions, you're not interested, now's a good time to just turn it on and go on to another channel. But there's coming a day you'll wish you hadn't turned it on. You'll wish you had listened. All right? These are the three questions I'm going to answer, and I really need the rest of this day to answer them in. I shall just put them all in a little capsule and perhaps at a later time talk to you a little more in detail regarding these three questions. First, when is Jesus coming? Second, if all men are appointed to die once, which is scriptural, then why didn't Enoch and Elijah die? The third question, is Israel going to be saved? And it's signed by Steve, the Jew from Israel. I've got a big job to take care of in just about 20 minutes. And if I do not answer them in full this time, I'll be back and I'll answer them for you at a later date in detail. All right, when it comes to when is Jesus coming, that'll be the very first question I'll answer. Let's take the Word of God. One day the disciples were with the Master and they were sitting there on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" The world will never come to an end. Remember that. There are some today who are talking about the end of the world because if you're sensitive to that which is round about you, you know that something is about to happen. The very atmosphere is filled with it. Not only here in the United States, all over the world, there's something that's happening. That's the reason there's so much frustration, so much uncertainty regarding the future. Statesmen are doing such unwise things, and they're not realizing how unwise many of their moves are. And yet, everything is running on schedule and according to the Word of God, the Word of prophecy. The world will never come to an end. But we're on the threshold of one of the world's great events. And that is the rapture of the church. Now, whenever you talk about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, I've told you before that there are two phases to the second coming. The first is the rapture of the church. The world will not see Jesus. His feet will not touch the earth. It'll be very quiet, likened the Word of God as to a thief in the night. And a thief never announces his coming. Then, after the great catching up of the church, the rapture, for 7 years, great tribulation, great suffering, we're on the threshold of that now. Then the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Regarding this first event, when the disciples asked, when will it be? Jesus gave a sign, and that's all that he gave was just a sign. The day and the hour no man knows. One speaks in error. If he should so boldly come forth and say such and such a date, such a year, such a month, no man knows. That is kept entirely within the knowledge of God himself. Not even the angels in heaven have this knowledge. Only God has it. But he says of the times and the seasons you shall know. And he gave as an example a parable, a fig tree. When the leaves are yet tender, so tender. And always the fig tree in the Word of God is a symbol of Israel. And he said in so many words, in essence, this. When you see the Jews who've been scattered for generations to the four corners of the earth, and they come back to their homeland, to the land which God promised them, and they're again recognized as a nation by all other nations in the world. When you see this thing happen, know something. those living in that generation will see these things come to pass. Therefore, we know that there are those living, even I speak to you now, you and I may be very part of this great catching up. We're that near because one of the signs that Jesus gave that we were to look for was Israel. And in 1948, Israel fulfilled that sign of which Jesus spoke. We're that near, that close to the fulfillment of the rapture of the church. Do you understand now why it's so important to all of us, to every human being in this generation? We're living, we're seeing the fulfillment of Bible prophecy now. All right? Let's take the second question. It is true, the Word of God says, is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. But we have no record whatsoever that Enoch ever died. One day he just went out walking with the Lord, and the Lord took him, and he was not. So far as we know, there's no record whatsoever that Enoch ever died. And there's someone else. There's no record whatsoever. Theologians have never been able to find that Elijah ever died. There must be a reason. Otherwise, it would be contrary to the Word of God. God has a reason. Let me read something to you. You see, so many of these questions are not contrary to the Word of God. Know that. God's Word has an answer and a reason for all things. The very last book of the Old Testament, the last two verses, tells us regarding Elijah. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Here we see that God has a definite work for Elijah. He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Is that the end? No. Now remember, you cannot separate the Old Testament from the New. It's impossible. The Bible is a unit. The Old Testament will be verified with the New and the New with the Old. You cannot just accept the Old and disregard the New Testament. Neither can you take just the New Testament and disregard the Old. It's one entire revelation of the person of Jesus Christ. Then what happened to these men who never tasted of death? Let me show you where they appear again. Turn, if you will, please, to the book of the Revelation. And it's most revealing. And before I go a little deeper into these two witnesses, remember, there has never been a time when God left the earth without a witness. Before the flood, there was a witness. Always. Go through all the centuries of time. God has never left the earth without a witness. Never. When we have the great catching up, the rapture of the church, this glorious body of Christ, this glorious body of believers, will have left the earth. I don't expect to be here. Thank God he has made a way of escape for his own, his church. We're not to go through the 7 years of great tribulation. The Holy Spirit will not be here because he's the great resurrection power. When he goes, we go with him. Therefore, on the surface, during these 7 years of great tribulation, it would seem as though, at least temporarily, the earth would be without a witness. God made provision for it. We see the two great witnesses, and here they are. And I will give power unto my two witnesses. And I have every reason to believe that these two witnesses could be Elijah and Enoch. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. That's 3.5 years of the 7 years of great tribulation. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in the same manner be killed. See something. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of the prophecy. And they have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all the plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and the kindreds and the tongues and the nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put into the grave. Do you realize that this prophecy could not have been fulfilled until there was television? Don't you see how God works? I told you before, he's the creator of all things. And man only discovers what God permits him to discover. This prophecy could be fulfilled tomorrow. Do you realize that? When these two witnesses are put to death, it is absolutely possible for all men and women around the world, through the medium of television, to see their bodies lying in the streets. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another, because these two witnesses, these two prophecies, tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God entereth into them, and they stood upon their feet. God knows no such thing as defeat. And great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up into heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour there was a great earthquake, and the 10th part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. We have seen great earthquakes, but there's coming an earthquake when literally 7,000 shall be killed. And the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. This is yet future, but God will keep his word. Now it comes to Israel. And the young man who signs it says, is Israel going to be saved? And it's signed by Steve, the Jew of Israel. Young Steve, I can tell the whole world. And I have as my authority the word of God. Israel will come out as the mighty victor. When those who've gone down after a prey with an evil mind, an evil thought, God comes forth in a mighty way. and gives to the seed of Abraham the greatest victory that a nation has ever known. Whatever your thinking may be, I can tell you upon the authority of God's word that Israel will come forth victoriously. I shall speak on that at another time. Remember, God will keep his word. God bless you.